From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. The military says that five U.S. soldiers have been charged with abusing detainees in Iraq. The soldiers' names were not released, nor their ranks, but the Army did say they were from the 75th Ranger Regiment. Back in September, the military says they allegedly punched and kicked prisoners waiting for transfer to a detention facility.
The treatment of detainees and interrogation techniques have become hot issues in Washington. Among the questions that are being asked, what rules should govern the questioning and the trials of detainees? We're going to start this hour with two stories that touch on these matters. They involve the White House, the Congress, and the Supreme Court. First, NPR's Don Gagne at the White House.
President Bush stopped off in Panama today. On his way back from a trade mission to South America, he was immediately greeted with questions about an issue that has been generating heat in Washington in recent days, the rules for dealing with detainees in Iraq and in the war on terror. The president had this to say.
We are finding terrorists and bringing them to justice. We are gathering information about where the terrorists may be hiding. We are trying to disrupt their plots and plans. Anything we do to that effort, to that end, in this effort, any activity we conduct is within the law. We do not torture.
That made it sound open and shut, but the manner in which the issue was raised made it clear that the administration has a more complicated position on it. Notice the way the president was asked that question today.
And do you agree with Vice President Cheney that the CIA should be exempt from legislation to ban torture?
The president did not refer to the vice president in his answer, but this much is clear. Whatever statements the White House may make on torture, the vice president continues to work behind the scenes to defend a policy that allows detainees to be treated differently. Cheney has worked consistently this year to defeat an amendment put forth by Senator John McCain that would formally outlaw any use of torture by the United States against prisoners. The McCain amendment passed one test vote in the Senate with 90 votes in favor and just 9 against, but the White House has said it would be vetoed. This is not the first time the vice president has been a prominent administration point man on Capitol Hill, but this time he's being noticed in part because of the attention brought to his office in recent days by criminal charges against former top White House official Louis Libby, who was Cheney's chief of staff and national security advisor. On the day last month that his most important aide was indicted, Cheney issued only a written statement. He accepted with regret Libby's resignation and reminded the public that an accused person is presumed innocent. But since that day, there have been persistent calls for Cheney to explain exactly what transpired within the office of the vice president. How and why was his chief of staff discussing a covert CIA agent with reporters? And what kind of conversations did Libby have with the vice president on this topic? Democratic Senate leader Harry Reid is among those demanding answers. He appeared here on CNN.
I think he owes an explanation, certainly. For the first time in almost 150 years, somebody working right in the White House is indicted for lying to a grand jury. I think that certainly he deserves, we deserve an explanation, we the American people.
But Jack Pitney, a professor at Claremont McKenna College in California, who has known Cheney for decades, says it's not in the vice president's makeup to apologize.
He doesn't believe in talking about publicly what goes on inside the executive branch, and consequently you're just not going to see him go on the air with a long description of who said what to whom. Not going to happen.
Still, the scandal is having an impact. A recent CBS News poll shows that just 19% of Americans have a favorable view of the vice president. Don Gagne, NPR News, the White House.